This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Radiant God, source of light, as you surrounded Jesus with your glory, so you come to us in a penetrating brightness. You catch us off guard and expose our weaknesses. We choose the limelight while you call us to explore the shadows and brighten the darkness. We seek the spectacular while you bind up the broken and give countless acts of mercy. We seek to stay on the mountaintop or in our comfortable pews while you walk the valleys of those in need. So, radiant God, fill us with the light of Jesus and the courage to carry good news into all the corners of the world and to bring back the joy of your presence. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. I think at one time or another in each of our lives, we have had an experience where we are so caught off guard by what is said or done, what we hear with our ears or see with our eyes, that we say, I wish I could unsee that. Ever been there? Sometimes it can be something that is said that catches us so off guard and is so mean and is so undeserved that we know that things are never going to be the same again. Sometimes we see something that we really don't want to see. And yet, there's a bit of a transformation that takes place as a result. Now, this can be something that is a bad thing, but it can also be something that is a very good thing. And in today's gospel story, we have a little bit of both. In the Transfiguration. Now, to understand this story in Matthew's gospel, we got to talk a little bit about the characters involved. You know, there were 12 apostles, but Jesus only chooses to take 3 of them up the mountain. There was a reason for that, I think. He takes Peter. And we know about Peter, as Matthew tells us, 6 days before this, Peter was the one who said, the first one to say it, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Peter knows who Jesus is. But as we find out later, Peter doesn't exactly live up to that realization in what he does in his life. He's constantly needing to be pulled back by Jesus, even after the resurrection, to the straight and narrow. So Peter, as leader, needs this experience. And then there's James and John, who in a few chapters are the ones who are going to be out there saying, hey, Jesus, when you get to your glory and your kingdom, could you just make it so that we sit at your right and your left? They got the wrong idea of what Jesus' kingdom is all about. So it's a little clear why Jesus would take them up that mountain. So there is that, I'd like to unsee that or unhear that moment that happens. Now, Peter, James, and John, like the rest of the crew, were good Jews. And if you had posters in your little hut about the greatest heroes of Judaism, you'd have one of Elijah, you'd have one of Moses. These were the top guys, huh? And so when they show up on the mountaintop, wow, this is cool. We got the Hall of Fame here. We got Moses. We got Elijah. Oh, and we got Jesus too. So let's do this, Peter says. Let's build 3 shrines, huh? One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. And when he's saying this, this is when that voice from heaven comes. And this is sort of the, I'd like to unsee that moment or unhear that moment. Because what does God say? God doesn't say, hey, listen to Moses and what he's got to say. Hey, listen to Elijah and what he's got to say. He doesn't say that, does he? It's like he wants to make it clear to them, this Jesus is my beloved son. Listen to him. Now for them, they fall down in fear. Well, I would too. You suddenly hear a voice from heaven on the mountaintop after Moses and Elijah show up. It's a little scary. But the bigger issue here is what that voice is calling them now to do. They're going to have to give up everything that they thought was supposed to be center stage. And their whole minds are blown, their hearts are blown that God's got something else in mind for us, something greater. Their fear is that for the first time, everything that they believed their whole lives, following the law of Moses, looking to the words of Elijah the prophet, suddenly it's not on the same playing field as the priority they're supposed to now give to this Jesus. Hearing a Jesus who's pushing them beyond their current beliefs, leading them more deeply into it, pushing them beyond religion as they know it, and pushing them beyond their notions of who God is as they know God. They are overcome because their world itself is now called into question. This is more than they counted upon. It's not just about following those Ten Commandments that our communion milestone folks will be reciting for us in a little bit. This is the moment when the disciples know that they don't know who God is, and correspondingly, who they are called to be. We talk in pilgrimage terms about a time like this as when we enter into liminality. That you go to a place where you get on the threshold, the very doorstep, and you know that everything that is behind you didn't completely tell the reality that I am called to. But we don't yet know out there what that new reality totally is. And so we are on the threshold. We have that experience of liminality. And we need to open our hearts to what God might have in mind. I've been blessed in my life with a lot of pilgrimage experiences. One of the most powerful ones in this regard was on sabbatical that I've talked about before with Dee when we went to the island of Shikoku in Japan. And you know, if you ever get into mountain climbing or hill climbing, oh my gosh, you get and you see the summit and you struggle and you struggle and you get there, and as soon as you get there, you realize this is not the top. There's more. And you get to that second false summit, and you realize there's more. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle to go up. But it's a struggle to come back down. And if you doubt that, talk to my knees. Because all of that weight of your body, all the way down, you feel it, huh? It's not easy going up. It's not easy coming down. But there is something that happens on that mountaintop that is meant to enable us to realize that we are called to more, called to so much more. When I was doing pilgrimages with a scripture scholar in the time I was in Europe, he would always take us to Mount Tabor, which is the traditional site for this experience of the Transfiguration. And he would let the tour guide do his thing and tell the stories and all that. And as soon as he was finished, he'd put us all back in the bus and he'd say, and now I'm going to take you to the place where it really happened. Because he believed, and there was a lot of rationale for it, that it was actually at Mount Hermon in a different part of the country where it took place. But he would get us there, and when we got there, he'd do a Eucharist and he'd give a very short sermon. And the sermon was this. It doesn't really matter where the transfiguration happened. What really matters is Is it happening in you? This story of the Transfiguration is something that we should take to heart. How is God transforming me? How is God taking all of those preconceived notions that I might have had and opening me up to more and giving grace to follow where He's led the way? We are on the precipice of an incredible Lenten season here at St. Joseph's. And there are two opportunities I want to mention today that are before us. Rev. Carroll has worked hard putting together this Lenten series that is based on Amy Jo Levine's The Scripture Scholar's work that we are offering on Wednesday nights, beginning the Wednesday after this one, that talks about the events of Holy Week that Jesus experiences and how we take that on and how it relates to our journey. The details are in the bulletin. It's a great opportunity to come together, and if you want to have your own group to do it, that's great, just let us know. Then there is this other sort of once-in-a-lifetime transformative opportunity, Miatica. Now, yeah, we're selling tickets, and at first glance, it sounds like, yeah, it's great. It's a musical. Let's buy a ticket and come and see it. So much more than that. We have such a heritage at St. Joseph's this time of year of doing mission trips. We did them almost every year before the pandemic. And I never had anybody who I was on a mission trip with or wasn't and came back and told me about it. And they'd always say, those people that we went to gave me so much more than I could ever give to them. That it becomes a transformation, a transformative experience. And this is what this is an opportunity for. Instead of us going to the missionary's field, the missionary field is coming to us. All the way from Madagascar and Mauritius. These people are coming for this cultural exchange that hopefully will be transformational for us. So on March 10th, Friday night, yeah, you buy your ticket and you get to see the show, but you also get a dinner beforehand, by the way, that I'm cooking. But in between, Rev. Patsy's going to do some talking about the whole experience of Miatica and all of that, giving that opportunity to meet those people who many of us are hosting, 30 to 40 of them. And then on Saturday, it's not just an afternoon matinee performance, but starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, there was a whole opportunity of a quiet day where our Madagascar missionary for 30 years, Rev. Patsy, is going to be giving some reflections and giving us an opportunity for that transformation in our own unique ways to take place. Lunch is included, and then there is the performance. And the good news with all that, all of those fundraisers that churches have been doing, like we did with the Italian dinner, that went to help to pay for this production crew to come here. All of the ticket sales are going to help them in Madagascar to build a much-needed secondary school. It's a mission trip. We don't have to go anywhere. We just stay right here. So I urge you, look at these unique opportunities that are upon us in whatever way God is calling you to transformation. The thing is, they started in this place, they went up that mountain, they came back down from that mountain, and they landed in the same place. But they were never the same again. This is the call that God gives us. Whenever I brought back a mission team or a pilgrimage team and we were able to gather around this altar afterwards, I always quoted to the group from T.S. Eliot's Little Gidding these lines. We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. God calls us to be transformed, like Peter, like James, like John. May we allow God to open our hearts to whatever that transformation looks like as we enter into this holy season. Amen. Mm-hmm.